News and interviews from your community. Every morning on WKOK Sunrise. On News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer, has done a fabulous job all week long. And so we very, very much appreciate his help and hard work. Movie Mike McGranahan is here. Professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. He's a staff writer for Ranker, a member of the Critics' Choice Association and the Online Film Critics Society. He is always here, sponsored by the Campus Theater Lewisburg. He's an author, and he is one of the many people who has seen Stephen King's Dr. Sleep.
Yes.
What do you think?
Dr. Sleep is a sequel to The Shining, based on Stephen King's book of the same name. Ewan McGregor plays the now-grown Danny Torrance. He spent decades trying to deal with the trauma he experienced at the Overlook Hotel as a kid. A new type of trouble finds him when he forms a psychic connection with a little girl who's being targeted by an evil cult of kidnappers. Dr. Sleep has an unusual predicament in that it has to serve two masters. It has to be faithful to King's book, but it also has to be faithful to Stanley Kubrick's film adaptation of The Shining. And since King famously hated Kubrick's movie, things get even trickier. There are visual references to The Shining throughout, and while cool in a detached cinema buff kind of way, it might have been more interesting if the movie could have conceived of those things from scratch. That and a slightly overlong running time are minor flaws. Otherwise, Dr. Sleep is pretty good. The story addresses some chilling themes of child exploitation and how past trauma can affect you as an adult. Rebecca Ferguson, meanwhile, is eerie perfection as the cult leader who sucks the shine right out of her young victims. She'll give you the chills, as will some of the spooky things that happen to Danny and the girl along the way. Dr. Sleep isn't going to become the classic that The Shining is, but it's still an effective Stephen King adaptation. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 Jack Nicholson's.
Here's Johnny. Okay, so, you kind of explained what would pull it together as maybe even better than a 3, but riding the fine line between all of those films and directors mm-hmm. and authors, that's a very difficult line to walk anyway.
Very much so, and I think director Mike Flanagan does a good job. He also wrote the screenplay. He does about as good a job as can be done, but the fact remains that he is still serving two masters. And I think it would have been much more interesting if he could have visualized the Overlook Hotel and all of the stuff from The Shining that's referenced in the movie on his own. I don't want to give anything away, but they had to get some look-alike actors who look like some of the people from The Shining. The character that Scatman Crothers played, for example, Dick Halloran, is in this movie, so they had to get somebody to look like him. There's a flashback scene where they have an actress who looks like Shelley Duvall, one or two others like that. And it just, I think it would have been better if he could have just said, you know what, forget what Stanley Kubrick did. I'm going to visualize it my own way.
I'm going to do my own film about the follow-up, the Dr. Sleep. In a nutshell, what is Dr. Sleep? Without giving anything away, I guess.
Yeah, Dr. Sleep is sort of a nickname one of the characters gets in the course of the movie.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it, they're referred to as Dr. Well, it's the Ewan McGregor character. That part's not a spoiler, but what he does that gets him called that is perhaps a little bit of one, so I don't want to...
Okay, and the level of performance of some of the actors in this?
Really good. Ewan McGregor's always good, gives a nice understated performance. Rebecca Ferguson is the standout, and she's one of those actresses who is not a household name yet, but she's been building a solid body of work. She was in one of the Mission Impossible movies with Tom Cruise and was so good. She was in The Greatest Showman, a movie I personally didn't care for, but she was good in it. And in this, she plays an evil character, but does not do the typical over-the-top evil kind of thing. She plays the character with great subtlety, which makes her even creepier.
Okay, so those things all stand out on this particular film. All right, thank you. 3
Jack Nicholson's.
Jack Nicholson's. Okay, there he is hacking through the door. I can see it now.
Yep. And you know, that scene is referenced in the movie, and that's a perfect example of something that if they could have done it their own way instead of having to mimic what Stanley Kubrick did, movie might have been a little bit better, but still worth seeing. I don't want to give the impression I don't like it.
Okay, when I saw the trailer, I saw him, look through the hole that was left by that.
Right.
All right, fabulous. Let's see, there were a bunch of other new movies that came out this week. In mm-hmm. a nutshell, can you tell us your view of some of those other new movies that came out earlier this week?
Yes, the other one I saw this week that's pretty good is Last Christmas, and this is a romantic comedy from director Paul Feig, who did the Ghostbusters remake. He did Spy, Bridesmaids, and stars Emilia Clarke as this woman whose life is kind of a mess. She meets this guy who seems like he's the perfect man, but he is really hard to get a hold of, and he only pops in at certain times. And the whole movie is set to the music of George Michael. And what's really interesting about the film is that it starts off seeming like it's going to be a Hallmark Channel kind of Christmas movie. And then partway through, there's a revelation that really gives the movie a lot of depth and substance. So this is a movie I hope people will go and see. It had sort of a mediocre opening weekend. It's a real feel-good film. The performances are good. The message is good. And I think people will actually be very pleasantly surprised that this movie is several cuts above what it looks like from the trailers.
Okay, so it goes from, Hallmark to Lifetime to Netflix quality storyline.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that there's like a Sixth Sense type of plot twist, but there is something that's revealed partway through the movie that you didn't know that changes the way that you see everything and just gives the movie some added depth. And I think it's really kind of touching what this movie is ultimately about. So I hope people will see it. And the use of George Michael's songs is brilliant. They really selected the songs very carefully and placed them in the movie carefully so that they accentuate the scenes. So Last Christmas, really nice movie. It'll touch your heart and jumpstart your holiday spirit. So I hope people will check that out.
I need that. I'm still resistant. Okay, fabulous. And new movies that are coming out today, the films that we will see for the first time today.
Yeah, there's a new version of Charlie's Angels with Kristen Stewart. She's the biggest name in the cast. This one written and directed by Elizabeth Banks. I think everybody knows what Charlie's Angels is, right? We've also got Ford versus Ferrari, which is based on the true story of a car designer and a driver who are trying to beat Ferrari at the 24 Hours of Le Mans in 1966. That stars Matt Damon and Christian Bale. And we've got The Good Liar, in which man Ian McKellen sets his sights on millionaire widow Helen Mirren and finds that she is not as easy to con as he thinks she's going to be.
Okay. And which of those will you see this morning?
I'm seeing Ford versus Ferrari today.
Oh, I'll look for that. That looks very interesting. At first glance, I thought, whatever. But then when I hear more about it and see some of the promotion, it looks pretty interesting.
A lot of people talking to me about this movie, telling me that they're interested in seeing it. So I have a feeling it could do very, very well at the box office.
Well, it's got Ford in it. It's the single most popular truck in the world.
Exactly, so. Like a rock.
Maybe that'll help it out at the box office. Sorry. Entertainment news. You are the only person that didn't sign up for Disney Plus this week. What's wrong with you?
Too many streaming services.
Okay.
I think that's going to be the death of streaming. They're also individualized, so in order to get a wide variety of stuff, you have to sign up for like 8 different services, which is crazy and expensive. But Disney Plus did launch this week, and they immediately crashed. A lot of users had trouble with the site. They couldn't access the content. There were delays and slowdowns in how fast things were streaming. So they got off to a bit of a rocky start, but they seemed to get it corrected after a few days. So it was just one of those things where it was highly anticipated and it came out of the gate and they wanted to come out like gangbusters and they kind of stumbled a little bit.
And what is it? I mean, I see there's a Disney Channel on cable. Mm-hmm. This is just the streaming version of it?
It's a streaming service that offers only Disney content. Disney movies and Disney-produced TV shows. So basically you go there and you can see the Star Wars, anything that Disney owns, not just what they produce, but what they own. So Star Wars, Marvel movies, things like that, in addition to the animated classics and the Pixar films and some original TV shows and movies. There's an original Star Wars show on there called The Mandalorian that's getting a lot of buzz. Okay. So it's basically like Netflix, but with Disney-only content.
Well, I'm ready for a Fantasia fix. So
it's probably on there, yeah.
Get that back there. Well, and we also saw on the Entertainment Wire this week, there's a disclaimer on some of the films that race and gender aren't depicted in the same way we do today.
Yeah, Disney's doing a smart thing, which Warner Brothers has done for years when they've released some of their old animated product, which is they're putting disclaimers in the front saying, hey, what you're going to see here was made in a different time. Some of the racial depictions are not necessarily what we would consider to be sensitive today. Please be advised of that. And I think that's the important thing to do. There's been this controversy about Disney keeping Song of the South in the vault for all of these years, not letting it be seen because it's widely viewed as racist now. But to me, you could put that out there with a disclaimer like that and maybe some other information that would put context to it, and people could actually learn from it, which to me would be better than just kind of hiding it away forever.
Well, yeah, I think so. And what we don't see enough is, what were we like then? What did we do? What did we think was entertaining? What was acceptable?
Absolutely.
At the time.
If Song of the South was available, I would sit, well, my younger one's too young to watch it, but I would sit down with my 11-year-old and I would show it to him and I would say, here's why this is offensive. Here's what it was like at that time and here's why we consider that not acceptable today. And I personally would use it as a teaching tool.
Okay, so yeah, it's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see what else is cooking. Apollo 11 wins a big prize?
Yes, the Critics' Choice Documentary Awards, which I was able to vote on, were held last weekend in Brooklyn. Apollo 11, which has amazing archival, never-before-seen footage of the Apollo 11 mission, won not only Best Documentary, but Best Science and Nature Documentary. The winner for the Best Music Documentary was Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice, terrific film about the great singer. Best Political Documentary went to American Factory, which is a Netflix film. So if you have Netflix, I highly recommend you hit play on that today. It's an incredible picture. Best Sports Documentary went to The Excellent Maiden, which is about the first female crew to participate in an around-the-world sailing race. And Peter Jackson's They Shall Not Grow Old won the award for Most Innovative Documentary. Okay. So we really got some great films that we gave awards to this year, and I hope people will check them out because they're all worthy.
You have that list at ILC.com?
I posted it on my Twitter. You can also go to our website, CriticsChoice.com.
All right, CriticsChoice.com or at ILC. Follow them on Twitter. It's worth it. You were tweeting overnight, so I haven't looked at them yet, but I know they're there. They're in the in basket, ready to look at. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Movie Mike McGranahan, his appearance sponsored by Campus Theater, campustheater.org. The doctor will see you shortly.